Thank you, Bobby. I appreciate everyone being here this morning. It's good to see so many faces here, and it's good to get this opportunity to come to speak to you this morning. I appreciate the opportunity the elders have given me. Now, I promise I did not talk to Justin before I prepared this lesson. Justin and I did seem to have very similar thoughts as to what we were going to preach this morning. However, while Justin's sermon had a much broader scope, reached to much more people, my sermon's going to be a little bit more focused on those who have been members of the household of faith, those who for a while have been studying the Word, and we feel comfortable and confident in the things that we know and the things we've studied and the things we learn. And I just want us to take a look at ourselves and examine ourselves regularly so that we can make sure that the things we're doing are the things we are supposed to be doing. Now, I don't think this clicker's working. I don't know which one I'm supposed to use. Ambition off buttons. Yep. Anybody know what clicker I'm supposed to use? Or just not use the... Oh, it's going? It's not on my screen. That might be a little more difficult. There we go. I want to talk about combating complacency this morning. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, Corinthians are told there to examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? As Paul instructed the church in Corinth, we must too constantly take stock of our lives, constantly think of the things in our lives, areas in which we may be lacking. Now, these may be things that we in the household of faith just fall into, and we don't think to examine on a regular basis. And so those are the things I want to think about this morning. I want to think about how we can get comfortable in our routines and our understanding and our knowledge, how we can get comfortable with the strength of our conscience and with our worship to our Lord. But something that we must always understand is that we need to examine these areas in our life. Because if we do it properly, if we examine our lives properly, we will find areas in which we are complacent. And if we examine ourselves honestly, we will find areas in which we can improve and ways that we need to change. However, if we get comfortable and we do not take the time to examine ourselves honestly and properly, we can easily deceive ourselves. Galatians 6, verse 3 says, I'm going to read verses 3 through 5 of Galatians 6. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let no one examine his own work. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Considering this, I would like to look at a few areas, like I mentioned, in which most, if not all of us, may need some personal work, some personal examination. Now, this is by no means an exhaustive list. This is by no means everything you need to do, everything you need to look at in order to be a Christian, in order to be faithful, in order to be an example to others. These are just a few things that I decided to take a look at because it's something that I think in general we may all struggle with. First, I want to look at how it is that we are to examine ourselves. We must use the scriptures. As we're shown in 2 Timothy chapter 2, Justin touched on this morning. We have to use the scriptures to show ourselves approved. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Something that we cannot do is we cannot lean on our own understanding. We cannot lean on the things we've taught and the things we've learned and the things we think we're okay with. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, we see that we have to trust in the Lord, and that is the word of God. Verse 5 in Proverbs chapter 3 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And in all ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." The the Lord has to direct our paths because wisdom can only and will only come from our Father in heaven. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 19 says, "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness." He quotes Job there in 1 Corinthians. People are often too quick. We are often too quick to find loopholes or to find excuses or reasons why we shouldn't be doing the things we're doing. Reasons, excuses, why certain verses don't apply to us. Why things that we hear in sermons or the things that we read in the Bible just don't quite apply to us. They're not applicable to each and every one of us. But unfortunately, they do. And we have to take stock of that because it happens to us. It happens to us, members of the household of faith, as often, if not more often, than it does to those outside. In a like fashion, we must not rely on our own conscience. Now, don't get me wrong. The Bible does teach that our conscience can be a great guide. Our conscience can guide us, help us know what we should be doing, but it has to be accompanied by the wisdom and the knowledge of the Word of God. We see this perfect example of Paul in Acts chapter 23. In verse 1, when Paul, looking earnestly at the council, he's speaking to the Sanhedrin. He says, "Men and brethren, I have lived in good conscience before God until this day." We all know everything that Paul had done, all the atrocities he had committed against Christians. But he says, "I was doing that in good conscience. I thought that's what I was supposed to be doing. But I know now that is exactly the opposite of what I should be doing." We need to have this attitude. We need to realize that our conscience is not always right. Our conscience does not always lead us in the right direction. That's why we must spend time in the Scriptures. We must spend time studying and learning and to know that what we are doing is correct and that our conscience can be corrected by the Word of God. Next, I'd like to look that we cannot rely on partial Bible teaching, which leads, as we know, to false teaching and false ideas in the world. We look at the people who believe things such as the faith-only doctrine, the faith-only teachings, and we see people who look at examples such as Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, where it says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon them. And they're like, "Oh, well, that means they were saved before they were even baptized." You can be saved. Baptism isn't essential. We see the Catholics in this world and some who take Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18 to mean that Peter was the first pope in the beginning of apostolic succession, because it says right there, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." We can see these common misunderstandings and misinterpretations of the Bible in the world, but we also have them in the church. We also have those things that we look at and we think, solid fact is this, because one verse says it, and yet we fail to examine the rest of the gospel. First thing is forgiveness to only those who ask. Luke chapter 17 and verse 4 says, "If he sins against you seven times in a day and seven times a day returns to you saying, 'I repent,' you shall forgive him." So that means I only need to forgive somebody if they come and ask me for forgiveness. Gossip. Gossip requires slander. I'm only gossiping if I'm talking bad about somebody. I'm only gossiping if I'm speaking ill of their name, if I'm slandering them. We find that all throughout the Bible. I put 2 Corinthians up there, but it's slander and gossip are put hand in hand in Proverbs chapter 10, 1 Timothy chapter 5, Romans chapter 1, Titus chapter 2. We find it over and over again. However, we know and we understand that gossip is not just speaking ill of someone else. Gossip can be just talking about stuff that's not any of your business. It can be spreading rumors. It can be spreading news. The gospel says that avoid people who talk too much because you know they can't keep a secret. Gossip is something that is prevalent. Yet we look to verses such as 2 Corinthians and we say, "Oh, well, you know, I'm not really gossiping because I'm not speaking ill of someone. I'm just telling everybody their business. I'm just telling them what is none of my business to tell them." And we can see from the teaching of the gospel that that is not so. Another thing that we have an issue with is placing too much importance upon tradition, upon man-made traditions, upon things that we do in this world. Some will cite 2 Thessalonians 2:15 that says, "So, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which we have taught you." Speaking of spiritual traditions and things that they need to do. But these are just some of the things that we can look to and we can argue over and that we can think, hey, you know what, we're pretty good in those areas. But we have to be vigilant. We have to stay alert and examine ourselves, because things as easy as tradition, something as easy as the order of services, which I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the way we order our services. There's nothing wrong with, you know, prayer, song, Lord's Supper, song, contribution, song, sermon, song, prayer. You're dismissed. There's nothing wrong with that. However, we'll see later in our study that if we let ourselves fall into those traditions, if we let ourselves fall into those routines, it can often lead to vain worship. And it's something that I think we need to consider. So having looked at the ways in which we can examine ourselves, I want to consider certain areas in which the majority of us need to examine our hearts and our minds and our attitudes on a daily basis. First, I want to look at our conduct. Because we need to know that as Christians, we have an example to set. And in that example, we will not set a good example if we do not set our minds on spiritual things. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 6, says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Our conduct is going to be according to our mind. We are going to do the things we believe. We're going to do the things we think and the things we learn. We have to make sure that our conduct is becoming of one who calls themselves a Christian. Jeff gave a great invitation on Wednesday night not too long ago about anger and wrath and how sometimes we can have the tendency to fly off the handle. This is exactly the type of thing that we need to look at and we need to examine on a regular basis, because we're all guilty of these things. Another thing is we need to study the Word of God regularly. Go back to 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we looked at earlier. We have to be diligent to present ourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to know the word of truth in order to rightly divide the word of truth, do we not? These are areas in which we need to examine regularly so that we know we are walking in accordance with God's will. I'd like to look at our relationships. The relationships we develop with people. The relationships that we have even with people who don't go to Olson Park Church of Christ. People who may be in South Africa. People who may be in New Jersey. I don't know. Anywhere in the world. We have to take a look at those relationships and make sure that we are right with our brethren. That we're right with our brothers and our sisters in Christ. And that we're right with the world. Now let's go back to forgiveness, because that's something easy to examine whenever it comes to relationships, when it comes to how we treat one another on a regular basis. Should we forgive that only those who ask us to forgive them? We look at the model prayer in Matthew chapter 6. We see that Jesus mentions nothing about people asking us for forgiveness. All he says is, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. We often ask ourselves, well, is it my responsibility? Is it my responsibility to forgive those who have sinned against me? Isn't it their responsibility to come to me and to seek that forgiveness? We have to be careful, because I believe that if you want your prayers to be answered, as it says in Mark chapter 11, the answer is yes, it's my responsibility to forgive someone. Whether or not they want forgiveness, whether or not they're seeking forgiveness, it's my responsibility to forgive someone, especially if they've sought forgiveness from the Lord. Because we see in Mark chapter 11, verses 24 and 26, it says, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you and your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. It's something that is essential for our sins to be forgiven, is maintaining those relationships with one another. We see that over and over and over when we talk about worship. We talk about exhorting one another. We talk about loving one another. Kindness, gentleness, being Christ-like and Christ-minded. If we are holding a grudge against someone, that's a really hard thing to do. It's a really hard attitude to have, to be Christ-minded and hold a grudge. If we refuse to forgive someone, we can cause ourselves and we can cause others, probably the one we're refusing to forgive, to stumble and to fall. In Romans chapter 14, verse 13, therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in a brother's way. It's something that we need to take into consideration in everything we do, not just forgiveness. In all the things I've mentioned today and in all the things we've ever learned, we have to keep in mind how we are coming off to other people. How is it that that person is going to react to the Word of God if they see me associated with the Word of God? If someone sees me as a Christian, if someone sees me as a member of Olson Park Church of Christ, are they even going to want to come to Olson Park Church of Christ? It's not just forgiveness. We have to keep this in our minds that we need to make sure that we do not create a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. And the last thing I want to touch on in this area is just forgiving without forgetting. You know, a lot of people say, well, I can forgive, but I can't forget. Yeah, it's really hard. Sometimes it's not even possible to actually physically forget in your head what someone's done to you, what someone's done to your family, what someone's done to the world. You think of somebody like Hitler. If Hitler walked in here today, we would want to teach him the Word of God, or we'd want to shoot him in the face. You know, it's those things, it's those two extremes. But the attitude we should have is to teach him the Word of God and then let the justice system have him and do whatever they need to do. We see this in the example of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. The prodigal son returns. He tells his father, I'll be as a servant. You know, you don't have to accept me back in your house. You don't have to do anything. Just let me be here. Let me live here. Does the father say, okay, but I'm never speaking to you again. I'll forgive you, but I'm not going to teach. I'm not going to ever talk to you again. I'm not going to be in your company. I'm not going to even be able to be in the same room with you. No, he doesn't say that. What does he say? He says, come to me, prepare a fatted calf. We're going to have this feast on behalf of this one who has returned to us. If someone has returned to us, that grudge that we may be holding against them is not behaving like a Christian. So yeah, we have to try and at least act like we don't remember the things that they've done against us. We have to try, because you've heard the term fake it till you make it. It's really hard sometimes, but you can act civil and you can act kind toward a person, and eventually that forgiving and forgetting aspect is going to fall into place. Because if we allow hatred for someone or for something or for a group of people, for another congregation, for another denomination, if we allow that hatred to seep into our hearts, Matthew chapter 13, verses 13 through 17, tells us why we have those parables like the prodigal son. It tells us why Jesus spoke in parables, why he used things like the parable of the prodigal son to show us what we need to do. And he says it's for the hearts of people have grown dull. The hearts of people have grown dull. And that's why Jesus teaches in parables such as the prodigal son. The next thing I want to look at is our worship. Our worship is so important. Our worship is key to everything that we do. We need to worship not just in services alone, but we need to worship our Lord in our daily lives, because we are here to serve our Lord and our God and our Father in heaven, and we're here for nothing else. Matthew chapter 4, verse 10 says, and Jesus said to them, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. We can't serve money. We can't serve pleasure. We can't serve worldly lusts. We can serve our Lord and our God, and him only shall we serve. Like I mentioned earlier, and I just use the order of services. It's not just things like that. But just any man-made tradition, anything that we may fall into and be comforted in, we can find that we may grow apathetic. We may just be going through the motions. We may just be doing things and clinging to these man-made traditions because it's what we've always done. It's what we always do. And like I said, I don't have any problem with our order of services. I like it. I'm comfortable with it. But that can be a problem because it can lead to vain worship, and it can lead to people's hearts and minds not being in the same place. If you turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 15, in Matthew chapter 15, we read this in verses 8 and 9. It says, "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." Now, there's a broad range of things that can fall into that. It's, like I said, I just kind of pulled the order of services out of the air. But we have to be careful that the things we do in our worship service include the commandments that were given, absolutely. But we cannot place too much importance on those things that we do, and we do regularly, that aren't found in the Scriptures. Because if it's not found in the Scripture, it's a man-made tradition. And they're not bad, but we can find ourselves placing too much importance on them, debating over them, splitting congregations over things that have nothing to do with the Scripture. They have everything to do with man-made traditions and things that we do not need to place our minds and our hearts on. We need to make sure that our worship is not vain, as it says there in Matthew chapter 15. Because we know that this can lead to eternal torment. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. We read this all the time. We use it all the time when we're speaking with people about baptism and about salvation and the plan of salvation and the things we have to do to be saved. We use this verse. But we have to understand that this verse is applicable to us as well. Matthew chapter 7 verse 21. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." We have to do what we are told to do. How we do it is not specified in the Word of God. That's why we have these traditions. That's why we have these things that we do on a regular basis. And like I said, there's nothing wrong with it. As long as we don't become complacent, as long as we don't fall back into those things and allow our hearts to wander. I know many times, sometimes I'll find myself just kind of, I'll be looking at the preacher, looking at Kyle, looking at the song leader, and my mind is who knows where. And I never really understood why, but in studying these things and in coming up with this lesson, I thought about it and I was like, maybe I'm letting myself settle into those traditions. Today I was just trying personally, I'm going to try to smile. You know, because if I try to smile through everything I'm doing, if I smile while we're praying, if I smile while we're singing, I'm making a conscious effort to tell myself that I'm happy with what we're doing and to pay attention and to do the things that I'm supposed to be doing today. Now, I'm not saying everybody needs to smile all the time or anything like that. That's just something I wanted to try this morning because I know this is an area in which I struggle, an area in which I struggle greatly. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10. We're told, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while we're doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are in the household of faith." We have to regularly take stock of our lives. Daily, we have to think of something, whether it seems small and insignificant, or it seems like the biggest thing that may be the hardest possible thing that we can do. We have to take stock and realize, I'm not going to let my heart be hardened. I'm not going to let my worship be in vain. I'm not going to let what that person did to me affect whether or not I get into heaven. I'm not going to let what we do in services on a regular basis cause me to rest on my laurels and to sit back and to not pay attention and to not let my heart be in service, because our hearts can harden and our souls can be lost. But if we stay true to the scriptures, which will most definitely make us step out of our comfort zones from one time or another, if we stay true to the scriptures, if we do the things we're supposed to do, we will be able to ask what the psalmist asks in Psalm 26. He asks, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and my heart." Can we honestly say this morning, and I can tell you that I don't know if I could, can we honestly say this morning, "Examine me, O Lord, try my mind and try my heart. Make sure it's in the right place." I promise, if anybody's thinking, you know, Barrett's preaching to me this morning, that's good. It might be means something you needed to hear this morning, but this really applies to me. I'm stepping on my own toes as much as I may be stepping on anybody else's toes. And if we think we're right, if we think we're just, if we think we're righteous in the things we're doing, there are always areas that we can examine. There are always things that we can look at. There are always ways in which we can improve to make sure that we do have a home in heaven, that it's safe and secure. Our name is written in that book of life, and that we can be a good example to all those who may follow. Now, this sermon hadn't been anything about the plan of salvation or what's needed to be saved, but I extend the invitation now. If anyone has been wondering lately if baptism's really right for them, do I really understand right from wrong? Can I discern and rightly divide the word of truth, as we read in 2 Timothy? Can I do those things? If the answer is yes, everything stands prepared. The water is ready. You can be baptized here and today and be born into a newness of life. If there's anyone here who has struggles, anyone who's struggling with anything, whether it's big or small, if you need the prayers of the congregation, if you need our help, that's what we're here for. I've done it. It's difficult, but it's something in which afterwards you feel great and you feel uplifted, and we are more than happy to do anything we can for you at this time if you come forward while we stand and while we sing the song of invitation.